Benjamin Norton Bugby, Sacramento Champagne King, written and spoken by Kevin Knaus. Chapter 9, Public Land Survey System in the Natoma Canal. By the 1850s, California had begun to be surveyed, mapped, and sliced up into neatly packaged units by the U.S. government, so the new immigrants could lay claim to the land they had been squatting on. There was no regard for any prehistoric claims of indigenous Native Americans on the lands. The initial grid system for mapping government-owned land in the West was originally put forth by Thomas Jefferson in 1784. The Land Ordinance of 1785 specified how the grid system was to operate and establish the Public Land Survey System. Public Land Survey System. Under the Public Land Survey System, territory was mapped out in a grid system of townships. A township was a square area, with the sides being 6 miles in length. The township square was further subdivided into 36 square sections, each with sides 1 mile in length. One township encompassed 36 square miles of land. The final map indicated each section in sequential order for identification. The point of reference for the townships was a base meridian, usually one of the tallest mountains in the region. In Northern California, Mount Diablo is a base meridian for townships in the Sacramento region. Townships could either be north of Mount Diablo or south of it. The second township north of Mount Diablo would start at the beginning of the seventh mile, the first 6 miles being the first township. To indicate east or west location of the township from the base meridian, the Public Land Survey System assigned a range. The second east range, similar to the second township, would begin at the seventh mile east of the Mount Diablo base meridian marker. Maps were then created that referenced the township and range. For example, Township 10 North, Range 8 East, Mount Diablo base meridian, would specify a particular map whose location could be described as the area 60 miles north of Mount Diablo and 48 miles to the east. When it came to specifying property ownership, the description was done in fractions of one of the 36 sections in the township. Each section, 1 mile by 1 mile square, contained 640 acres. A quarter section was 160 acres. For example, Mr. Smith may have been granted a land patent on the northwest quarter of Section 4 of Township 7 North, Range 5 East, Mount Diablo Base Meridian. This would be 160 acres under Mr. Smith's ownership and would be easily identifiable on a map. The Government Land Office, the entity in charge of issuing land patents during the 19th century, would denote ownership of land by specifying the fractions and relative orientation of land by directional indicators. The patents could be broken up into small areas and were similarly indicated with a directional nomenclature. Mr. Smith may have sold the south half of the northeast quarter of his northwest quarter of Section 4. That would be listed as south one-half, northeast one-fourth, northwest one-fourth, Section 4, Township 7 North, Range 5 East, and it would equate to 20 acres of land. Land patent and preemption. A land patent is essentially a grant by either the federal or state government conferring clear legal title to the property to the person or business who applied for it. If the settler had been living on the land before the official government land office plats or maps were created under the Public Land Survey System, he or she could file a preemption claim under the Preemption Act of 1841. Preemption was the process of asserting a right of first refusal to buy the land before it was offered to anyone else. A couple of conditions of preemption were that the settler must be living on the land and making improvements to the property, such as building a home, mining the land, or farming the property. If the claimant met all the conditions for preemption, he or she could buy up to 160 acres at $1.25 per acre and receive a land patent. Section 16, State Property. When a California pioneer such as Bugby decided he liked a plot of land and started to improve it with farm fields, barn, or house, he had no way of knowing where the land might fall within the future township survey. Within a township, Sections 16 and 36 were set aside for the respective state as either a location to build schools or to sell the land in order to raise money to build a public school. Bugbee's Natoma Vineyard that he purchased in 1863, before the maps were drawn, was in Section 16 of Township 10 North, Range 8 East, Mount Diablo Base Meridian. In 1853, Congress passed additional legislation authorizing the president to establish government land offices in California and to begin the surveying process. Section 6 of the Act specified how settlers were to claim a preemption for the purposes of claiming title to the land. Section 6, and be it further enacted that all public lands in the state of California, whether surveyed or unsurveyed, with the exception of Section 16 and 36, which shall be and hereby are granted to the state for the purposes of public schools in each township, and with the exception lands appropriated under the authority of this Act or reserved by competent authority, and excepting also the lands claimed under any foreign grant or title and mineral lands, shall be subject to the preemption laws of 4th September 1841, with all the exceptions, conditions, and limitations therein, except as in herein otherwise provided, and shall, after the plats thereof are returned to the office of the register, be afforded for sale after 6 months' public notice in the state of having time and place of sale under the laws, rules, and regulations now governing such sales, or such as may be hereafter prescribed, provided that where unsurveyed lands are claimed by preemption, the usual notice of such claim shall be filed within 3 months after the return of the plats of survey to the land offices, and proof and payment shall be made prior to the day appointed. The salient point of this section is that a settler who had improved the land with a dwelling or with agricultural practices had 3 months after the survey plats or maps were returned to the government land office to claim their preemption. In other words, if the settler wanted to prevent the land from being claimed by another individual, he or she had to provide proof they were occupying or using land in order to preempt another claim to the property. Section 7 of the Act added further clarification for settlements in Sections 16 and 36 reserved for California public schools. Section 7, and be it further enacted that where any settlement by the erection of a dwelling house or cultivation of any portion of the land shall be made upon the 16th and 36th sections, before the same shall be surveyed, or where such section may be reserved for public uses or taken by private claims, other land shall be selected by the proper authorities of the state in lieu thereof. Natoma Vineyard, Section 16. Virtually all of Bugbee's Natoma Vineyard and winery operations were in Section 16. That meant that if he didn't file a preemption within 3 months after the land plats were entered at the government land office in Sacramento, the land would become the sole property of the state of California. The survey of the Township 10 North, Range 8 East, located in El Dorado County, was completed on May 19, 1866, and deposited with the United States Land Office in Sacramento on June 16, 1866. Many of the land surveys to the west of El Dorado County were completed in the mid-1850s. These earlier land plats or maps show very little development other than some roads, fence lines, and the occasional town. The Civil War slowed the progress of completing the land surveys. By the time the survey crew came along in 1866 to create the township maps in El Dorado County, there were considerable improvements throughout the area. The final 1866 map of Township 10 North, Range 8 East, prominently notes the B.N. Bugbee Wine Distillery, B.N. Bugbee Old House, and the B.N. Bugbee New House on the map. It also depicts the Natoma Water and Mining Company's ditch winding around the Bugbee Wine Distillery as it mirrored the South Fork of the American River in a southwest direction. Before the final surveys were adopted, Bugbee was inquiring about buying land adjacent to his Natoma Vineyard that had been granted to the Central Pacific Railroad. This just happened to be the location of his prominent house on a hill overlooking the Natoma Vineyard, immortalized on the cover of the sheet music for the Bugbee Champagne Waltz. In response to a letter from Bugbee, the land agent for the Central Pacific Railroad outlined how the railroad would dispose of their granted land. The railroad had been granted all odd number sections of land within 20 miles on each side of the railroad line as another form of inducement or reimbursement for constructing the Transcontinental Railroad. The Central Pacific Railroad was going to sell its land for $2.50 per acre. The land agent for the Central Pacific Railroad responding to Bugbee's letter in 1865 was B.B. Redding, a former deputy of Bugbee when he was the sheriff of Sacramento County. Water ditch provision. Many of California's water ditches were constructed and put into operation in the 1850s. There was little regard for who owned the land or who might own it in the future. The water ditches were seen as an indispensable improvement for the continued mining of gold. Unlike settlers who had improved the land they were working and could claim a preemption, constructed water canals, flumes, and ditches could not. This was until Congress passed another act recognizing water ditches, which it did on July 26, 1866. Section 9. And be it further enacted that whenever, by priority of possession, rights to use of water for mining, agriculture, manufacturing, or other purposes have vested and accrued, and the same are recognized and acknowledged by the local customs, laws, the decisions of courts, the possessors and owners of such vested rights shall be maintained and protected in the same, and the right of way for the construction of ditches and canals for the purposes of the aforesaid is hereby acknowledged and confirmed, provided, however, that whenever after the passage of this act any person or persons shall in the construction of any ditch or canal injure or damage the possession of any settler on the public domain, the party committing the injury or damage shall be liable to the party injured for such injury or damage. Bugbee preemption and acquisitions. The Natoma Water and Mining Company sued Bugbee, claiming under the July 26 Congressional Act acknowledging the rights of water ditches over the public lands that they should be able to lay claim to the property. Bugbee, for his part, did not file a preemption for his property in Section 16, which was designated for the state of California. If he had done so, the state of California would have sought to acquire the same acreage of land in another section where no preemption had been filed. It's not clear why Bugbee did not file a preemption. He was clearly entitled to it since he had previously improved the property with vineyards, wine cellars, and a home. Perhaps Bugbee thought that by putting in a preemption claim, he would be declaring his primary residence to be El Dorado County. He was too invested in Sacramento County business and politics to lose his Folsom residency. Stroop Agreement. Another reason why Bugbee may not have filed a preemption was that he agreed to purchase the land from the state of California. Bugbee had made an agreement with his neighbor, L.T. Stroop, who was also in Section 16. Mr. Stroop shared the southwest quarter of Section 16 with Bugbee. A picket fence divided their claims. When the government land office survey plat of their township was released, Bugbee and Stroop entered into an agreement. On July 24, 1866, they agreed to the following contract written up by Bugbee. Whereas the said B. N. Bugbee seeks to obtain a title from the state of California to that tract of land described as follows, to wit, the southwest quarter of Section 16, Township 10, Range 8 East, Mount Diablo Meridian, now then, the said B. N. Bugbee undertakes and agrees as soon as he shall acquire a title to said land from the state to make and execute to said Stroop a good and sufficient deed to all of that portion of said quarter section lying on the north side of the certain picket fence, now used and known as a line fence between the said Bugbee and Stroop, on the northerly side of an exact range of said fence from the west line or west boundary of said quarter section to the east line or boundary of said quarter section at the same price per acre and on the same terms that said Bugbee shall have paid to the state of California for said lands, and that the said L.T. Stroop covenants and agrees that he will in like manner convey to said Bugbee all of the portion of the northwest quarter of said Section 16 being south or on the southerly side of said fence and range above described on the same terms as provided above, touching the conveyance of the said Bugby, and it is hereby further agreed that the refusal of one to comply with this agreement that does not release the other, but each may be proceeded against and compelled by law to make this contract. California State Purchase. As agreed, Bugby bought the land from the state of California in 1867. He received a land patent from the state of California for 280 acres for the southeast quarter, the east half of the southwest quarter, and the northwest quarter of the southwest quarter, all in section 16 of Township 10, North Range 8 East, Mount Diablo Base Meridian. In 1869, he purchased another 40 acres from the state, described as the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter of Section 16 in the same township. Central Pacific Railroad land purchases. In 1870, Bugby would purchase 160 acres from the Central Pacific Railroad that had been granted to them as part of the construction of the Transcontinental Railroad. Bugby acquired 120 acres in Section 21 of Township 10 North, Range 8 East. This parcel was adjacent to Section 16 and above the Natoma Vineyard. Part of this land is where Bugby's house on the hill was built. The other 40 acres was in Township 9 North, Range 9 East, Section 11, which was where his Duroc Vineyard was located. Bugby would turn around and sell the 40 acres at Duroc Vineyard to George Bayliss, who, in turn, sold it to Peter McClashan. Peter, father of Bugby's second wife, Nettie, then gifted that parcel to Nettie in the same year. Henry Met Land Swap. Bugby's next-door neighbor was Henry Met, who had a vineyard. The Natoma Ditch ran through each of their properties in Section 16 above the South Fork of the American River. The water ditch created an obstacle for each farmer to get to the other side of the ditch to work his property. In 1868, Bugby and Met swapped triangular portions of land on either side of the Natoma Ditch. The parcels Bugby acquired from Met would always be excepted from any land descriptions when he was acquiring a mortgage on his Natoma Vineyard property. Brown's Ravine Flume. Brown's Ravine and its accompanying Seasonal Creek ran through Bugby's property in Section 16. The Natoma Ditch also went through Section 16 and had to travel across the ravine. In order to maintain the proper slope for the water to move west in the Natoma Ditch, the water canal had to travel up Brown's Ravine and then back down it. A flume across Brown's Ravine would considerably shorten the ditch and elevate the canal above the creek, which, during high rainfall events, could wash out the canal. The Natoma Water and Mining Company did build a flume across Brown's Ravine. The timbers to support the flume destroyed part of Bugby's vineyard and also prevented him from easy access to the land on the opposite side of the elevated flume structure. The Natoma Water and Mining Company claimed they were on the land first and did not have to compensate Bugby for his loss of property. Bugby contended he was the legal owner of the land, documented by his purchase of the land from the state of California. By 1870, the Natoma Water and Mining Company was more than just a water ditch company. It was supplying water to the town of Folsom. It acquired large portions of the Leidesdorf land grant, Rancho Rio de los Americanos, for other business ventures, and it had fought and won many lawsuits brought against it. The company had become a large and diversified corporation and had the resources to fight for what was in its best interest. Natoma Water and Mining Company versus Bugby. Of all the court cases that Bugby was involved in, none probably touched his soul more than the fight over his beloved Natoma Vineyard. It was probably also this long, drawn-out court fight that influenced a shift in his worldview. In his later years, Bugby would denounce the undue influence and monopolization of the land that he believed rightfully belonged to the settler. Genesis of Natoma Ditch. The South Fork of the American River, with a few exceptions, flows along steep banks and hills. If the gold-bearing stretch of the river is not hemmed in by tall mountains, it has to cut into the landscape created by ancient debris flows brought down from the mountains above, creating riverbanks 20 to 40 feet high. The focus of the early 49ers was to mine the placer gold resting on the bedrock over which the river flowed. By 1851, there were already significant stretches of the river that had been completely mined of the relatively easily obtainable placer gold dust and flakes. The miners then turned their attention to the riverbanks. The problem was getting water to the dry diggings to wash it and separate the gold from the dirt and rocks. Since mechanized pumps with steam engines for power weren't really feasible because of logistics and cost, gravity-fed water was the next option. But that meant there had to be a water source above the claim the miner was digging through, hence the idea of running a water ditch above the river to supply water to the miners down the hill was born. By 1851, the planning had begun to put a dam on the South Fork of the American River, 2 miles above the mining town of Salmon Falls at Rocky Bar. The vision was to dig a ditch following the contours of the hillside and deliver water to mining and agricultural regions of McDowell Hill, Red Banks, Mormon Island, Willow Springs, Rhodes Diggings, Prairie Diggings, Alder Creek, Negro Bar, Texas Hill, Mississippi Bar, and Pennsylvania Flat. This endeavor was incorporated on July 1853 as the Natoma Water and Mining Company. The men behind the new water canal were A.P. Catlin, D.A. Hamilton, G.W. Colby, Lucien B. Brooks, Thomas B. Williams, E.N. Strout, and James H. Henry. The first dam on the river was later improved in 1868. The second iteration measured 290 feet long, 16 feet high, with a 25-foot base. The construction material was stone and mortar with coping planks 3 inches by 12 inches by 14 feet spiked to 3 parallel timbers 10 inches by 12 inches with 8-inch boat spikes. The timbers were bolted to the bedrock of the river and rockwork with 1-inch bolts. The square-faced stones of the dam had 1¼ by 14-inch long iron rods extending through the centers and wedged into the bedrock. The face of the dam had a 22.5-degree slope. The main ditch was a trapezoid with an 8-foot base, 5-foot sides, and usually had a water depth of 4 feet. The south side of the canal, along the river canyon, used the natural earth and stone. In many places where the slope of the hill was too steep, a rock retaining wall was built out of local stones to support the canal's side wall. When finished, the Natoma main ditch was 95,600 feet in length and had a capacity of 60 cubic feet per second. The Natoma ditch, like most earth and water canals of the time, could not always be dug into a hillside. The ditch had to pass over ravines and creeks. In these places, a wooden flume, equivalent in capacity to the earthen canal, was constructed to carry the water over the area. As the Natoma ditch had to be rebuilt after the numerous flooding events from the river and creeks, additional flumes were added to secure the canal and shorten its travel distance around the ravines and creeks. One of the areas that was a problem for the water ditch was at Brown's Ravine, where the ditch was prone to wash out during high water flows down the creek. The water ditch also made a long detour up the ravine and then back down in order to maintain its gentle slope to keep the water flowing at a predictable rate. In 1870, the Natoma Water and Mining Company decided to build a wooden flume across Brown's Ravine to reduce washouts from high creek flow and shorten its length. The wooden flume needed to be large enough to carry the same flow of water as the earthen canal. Because the flume was elevated until it reconnected with the ditch on the other side of the ravine, the supporting lumber would mean the overall land required to construct the flume was larger in area than just the water ditch. The new flume would traverse over Brown's Ravine and across the land being farmed by Bugby. To accommodate the construction of the flume, Bugby would lose land currently being farmed and future expansion as the tall wooden flume made it difficult to reach the area on the other side. The flume was essentially a tall fence separating two pieces of land that Bugby was farming. Bugby protests condemnation. Bugby protested the taking of his property. The Natoma Water and Mining Company brought suit in El Dorado County District Court to condemn a portion of Bugby's vineyard in order that the flume could run across it. To ascertain the value of the land to be condemned, three commissioners were appointed to appraise the damages Bugbee would sustain from the loss of the property. In March 1871, the commission concluded that Bugbee should be awarded $19,000. The damages award was based on Bugbee's own estimates and that of surrounding vineyard owners. At the time, Bugbee estimated he had 86,000 to 90,000 vines bearing fruit on his property, yielding 500 to 800 tons of grapes. At $50 per ton wholesale price, the grape production was worth on the magnitude of $25,000 to $40,000 per year. The commissioners visited Bugbee's vineyard, heard all the testimony, and even though there was some disagreement on the value, determined Bugbee's vineyard property was worth $2,000 per acre. Bugbee wins first round. In May of 1871, an El Dorado County judge confirmed the award of damages to Bugbee from the Natoma Water and Mining Company's condemnation of Bugbee's property to build their flume. And thus began years more of litigation between vineyard owner and the water company. The Natoma Water and Mining Company then questioned if Bugbee was even the legitimate owner of the land to begin with. In 1872, Bugbee used his influence to get a state bill introduced that would force ditch companies to pay assessed damages to landowners for the construction of flumes within 12 months. Assembly Bill 269 was an amendment to an act to authorize the incorporation of canal companies and to provide for the construction of canals and ditches, approved April 2, 1870. The amendment was to make the canal law mirror similar laws pertaining to the railroads, in that if land was condemned for new canals or flumes, the water canal company had to have sufficient resources to meet the damages assessed without undue litigation between the parties, as was the case between Bugbee and the Natoma Water and Mining Company. Assembly member C.G.W. French opposed any amendments that would force water ditch companies from paying damages in a timely fashion. His arguments were that most of the water ditches had been there long before the property owners. French even noted that the amendment to the Water Canal Company law was brought forth as a result of pending litigation between Bugbee and the Natoma Water and Mining Company. French suggested amending the legislation so that any water canal ditch in existence within 10 years previous to the law would be exempt. The amendment was not passed. The strong support for the rights of water canal companies by French did not go unnoticed. He would be one of the attorneys to represent the Natoma Water and Mining Company in its fight with Bugbee in 1873. French was an old friend of Bugbee's, a local Folsom attorney that Bugbee had used, and they both belonged to the same political party. It must have been a disappointment to Bugbee that a pioneer like French would side with corporate interests over those of an original pioneer and settler. Bugbee sues the Natoma Water and Mining Company. After the Natoma Water and Mining Company refused to pay the damages to his property already legally awarded to him, Bugbee sued the Natoma Water and Mining Company again in February of 1873 in El Dorado County, 11th District Court. On the 24th of February, Bugbee and his attorneys, George Williams and C.J. Carpenter, entered Judge Adams' court to face off against the Natoma Water and Mining Company lawyers C.G.W. French and George Blanchard. Both parties waived their rights to a jury trial, instead casting their fates to the jurisprudence of Judge Adams. Bugbee wins second round. Both sides presented witnesses and other documents in court. After 2 days of testimony, the case was submitted to Judge Adams. On April 8th, Judge Adams rendered his verdict for Bugbee. The judge awarded Bugbee the entire length and width of the Natoma ditch that crossed his property through Section 16. Bugbee also sought to claim the property that the ditch traversed over in Section 21, which he had bought from the Central Pacific Railroad, but the judge denied that claim. Judge Adams based his decision on several facts relating to the ownership of the land. First was that Section 16 passed to the state of California in May of 1866, when the Surveyor General filed the survey plat with the government's land office. Next, contrary to the arguments of the Natoma Company, the federal government had no power to impair the title to the state of California. The Congressional Act of July 26, 1866, an act granting the right of way to ditch and canal owners over the public lands and for other purposes, was passed 2 months after the state had taken title to the land. Judge Adams concluded that at the date of passage of the Act of Congress of July 26, 1866, the federal government had no title to the land sued for in said Section 16. Finally, Bugbee had secured a patent from the state of California for the property in dispute on April 22, 1867. The Natoma Company never attempted to purchase the land from the state. Judge Adams awarded the property to Bugbee plus $59 in monthly rents and profits from the ditch retroactively from April 16, 1868. Unfortunately, this was the beginning of a long legal battle. The Natoma Company would continue to appeal the decision all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. While Bugbee was certainly grateful to his attorney for prevailing in the action against the water company, by the spring of 1863, money was getting tight for Bugbee. On the day they won the lawsuit, he assigned the property awarded him, along with past and future rents, to his attorney, G.J. Carpenter, likely as payment for legal bills due. Bugbee was not the first landowner to fight against a water company over eminent domain proceedings and fair compensation for his property, and he wouldn't be the last. He believed in settlers' rights and that local individual land ownership was the foundation of prosperity in the United States.